It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, The Fan Sports Network. Happy hump day, everybody. We've got our hump on a little bit today. We've been humping today.
Yeah, been active.
Been active.
Yeah.
We've been moving, we've been grooving, we've been wheeling, we've been dealing.
Well, we don't have many
days. Take your hand and put it down your pants, son.
Nice sunshine, so you got to enjoy these couple days.
Today, tomorrow, going to be pretty good.
It's going to rain pretty badly here soon.
Nah, summer's here. Don't worry, we'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
It's time to nut up.
You know, we never
up.
Got an official winter is over.
No, we didn't.
I was kind of gone when the week happened. Like, this would have, last week would have been the week
he
I would have done it.
Went to the land of perpetual summer.
I did. Because when did the weather turn? Because right when I left, it was super crappy earlier in the week, but didn't you guys get like 75?
The weekend, it was 80.
80
it got
degrees.
To 80 at
like,
one
that
point
would have
on
been my.
Weekend.
It was pretty nice when I was at the coast. Was it nice here the days I was gone?
It wasn't terrible.
It hadn't warmed up yet.
The Friday before I left, it was nice because I went and played golf, and it was a nice sunny day to go play golf.
Yeah.
So that was delightful. See, last week would have kind of been the week to do it, so I did it in jest yesterday, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
And now it's too late. Then the whole bit's done, right? If I do it in May, it's just, you know, we'll just punt. We'll move on a year. We're going to tank this year. We're going to get a draft pick. We'll be back next year.
Okay.
Better than ever. Statter story coming up 10 minutes from now. Blazers are back in action. We'll have some more thoughts on that. So something was finally announced today that evidently was agreed to on Friday, but the as they say, T's were crossed and the I's were dotted today. Connor Griffin, the number one prospect in baseball, has signed a 9-year deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates worth $140 million. Mm-hmm. As you pointed out, he is the first teenage position player to debut in the big league since Juan Soto in 2018. He is their starting shortstop. I think he had an RBI double in his first at-bat. Like, he's been really good since they called him up.
Two ribbies last night.
Injecting some life into the Pirates organization that has not had a lot of it my entire lifetime. Look, the Pirates we can make fun of. They don't care about winning. They never spend any money. This is the largest contract that they have ever guaranteed to a player in the history of their franchise.
This is also the largest rookie deal, correct?
Ever, that we've ever seen in Major League Baseball.
Because Emerson had it as a guy who never played.
Yes.
But I believe that easily beats it with the 140.
So let me ask you this, because your team did this to a certain level.
They did.
But if I remember correctly, everybody had already broken in and played, right?
Acuna had played a year. Albies had played a year. Austin Riley had played a year. And within like the first 2 years of their service.
Like, dude, lock them up.
Here they go.
And you get them on affordable deals. And it makes sense for the guys in a certain angle because for the first 6 years of your big league career, you're not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You have to wait a couple of years to get to arbitration. And then you could, like, we just talked about that with, who was it this offseason? Scooball and the Tigers. And him saying $30 million and the Tigers were like 15 or whatever it was and they agreed with Scooball. Like, you got to go through that whole process until you can finally hit free agency. And some guys end up missing their max financial making windows, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not the same player 7 years from now, maybe you're already on the downtrend depending on when you break into the bigs. Anyways, it makes sense for a lot of young guys to say, give me the guaranteed money. I got $140 million coming.
Yep.
And he is only, what, 19 years old,
19.
I believe? So you sign a 9-year, you're still in your 20s by the time you hit free agency for the first time, and you're going to get a $300 million contract from then on out. It makes a lot of sense. I'm curious if we like the trend and are willing to, because yours was different because all those guys had played, and Connor Griffin, I know, had played a little bit, but it was a week in the big leagues, and then they gave him a big extension because it's a roll of the dice for the team because, as we've seen before, there's no guarantee that every prospect that you call up, no matter how highly touted they are, turns into a great player at the big league level.
It's certainly a roll of the dice, especially from the Mariner angle of giving it to Emerson, who still hasn't been called up and played.
No.
But what I would say on the other side of that, and yeah, my team did this years ago, but I remember when they did it, I'm like, dude, that's just really good business. You're giving a young player that doesn't have money a buttload of money.
Yes.
It was an 8-year, $100 million deal they signed Acuna for. He's a free agent finally this year.
Oh, he's going to be a free agent this year.
$17 million salary this year.
Yeah.
Now, he's not off to a good start. His season's pretty terrible so far. He's striking out a lot.
And he's been banged up a little bit, but you won a World Series. He's got an MVP. He's been awesome.
That has been one of the best deals in the entire sport. Ozzie Albies has a good deal. Like,
right.
You have to roll the dice, I think. And even if they don't end up panning out to the full extent of what you hope, when you look at it on a per-year basis, if he's just middle of the road, this is a good deal. And yeah, maybe he won't be middle of the road, but if he's just minimum middle of the road, good deal.
Right.
Good business. And when you talk about a salary cap potentially coming to baseball, which is what it's looking like.
That's the other angle that some teams might be trying to jump ahead of.
And that's what I think the Mariners did with Emerson. I think that's what the Pirates are doing with Griffin, is like, here's a ton of money. You're still super young. You'll get another deal if you perform. Like, we know that these guys are going to get other contracts. They just need to go out there and perform. And yeah, sure, it's the hardest sport to guarantee anybody's going to perform in, but I would rather not have to worry about it. If Connor Griffin continues to play the way he's played and it just continues to rise and he becomes the next Bryce Harper or Juan Soto, you're going to look at this in 2 years and go, that's the best deal maybe in pro sports.
It's an absolute steal if he turns into the player that they think that he can become.
Yes.
And you got him on an affordable
deal. I love it. If my team does this again, like they have Drake Baldwin. He just won NL Rookie of the Year. He is their new catcher of the future.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a stellar season.
If
they announce an 8-year deal with him for $100 million, I'm going to go, yep, that's great business.
Yeah, because even if it doesn't necessarily pan out, it's you can still eventually move off the contract if you want to. And you're not talking about one of these deals where it's a guy making $60 million a
year. Exactly.
Like it's an affordable deal in terms of baseball contracts for guys at the highest level. The interesting side plot of this is that, so you mentioned Colt Emerson got the deal for Seattle, who was their top prospect. They have not called him up yet. He's still in the minor leagues. And I saw this randomly after they signed the deal that, and Mariner fan, I'm sure, is going to provide more context to this. J.P. Crawford of the Mariners, who
the
also
current
played
shortstop.
The current starting shortstop. So they signed Colt Emerson. His was, I believe, 8 years, $95 million, if I'm not mistaken. They asked him about it, and he said, quote, there's a lot of S going on with that right now, but I'm a good human being.
Hmm.
I congratulated him, wishing him nothing but the best, and he's going to come up here and help us win ball games. That's all we want at the end of the day. And it was one that left me from the outside looking in, scratching my head of like, that's interesting. And is that a, some guys aren't getting paid? Is that a, he's taking my spot? Is that, that was a weird quote to kind of pop up.
He is taking his spot.
He is. And they have not gotten, I mean, they lost again yesterday. They're 4-8 now, 12 games into the season. And it just, we talked about this a little bit in the World Baseball Classic. At the time, it was much ado about nothing, but you had the Arozarena and the Cal Raleigh thing at home plate where he didn't shake hands. And then Arozarena made the comments after the game. And it's like, is this tongue in cheek? Is he being serious? Is there an actual thing here? And
it ended up being, I think, on a Rosarena's part, kind of serious,
kinda
where
serious,
Cal
like,
did brushed it off.
He kind of laughed
whatever.
It off. But it just, I don't know, it just, I'm looking at them. They're obviously the baseball team that we talk about more than any other on the show because there's more Mariner fans here than any other fan base. And they went to they were a game away, a couple outs away from winning the ALCS last year. Off to a bad start. I saw that quote and I just thought that's an interesting approach to it and answering it. Honestly, I can appreciate that, but he's going to take his job. And I'm sure that doesn't sit well with J.P. Crawford.
I mean, I'm going to give you a list of guys who were signed at like the super young age. And I want you to tell me if you think there's one that you would be sitting in regret if you were a fan of the team.
There was one for
Mike Trout, 22 years old, 6 years, $144.5 million.
Okay.
Definitely not.
No.
Acuna, 8 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
Tatis Jr., 22, 14 years, $340 million deal. Now, he did get the suspension from the PEDs, but still a pretty damn good player. Julio Rodriguez did this at 21. He got a 12-year, $209 million deal.
Yeah.
You've got Corbin Carroll, 22, 8 years, $111 million.
Good player.
Bobby Witt Jr., 23, 11 years, $288 million. Roman Anthony in Boston, 21. He got the 8-year, $130 million.
He can't throw a baseball anymore, which is kind of a weird story, but
it's a very
good
story.
Player.
And now Connor Griffin, 9 years, $140 million deal. I just think when you do this,
there's been a few that haven't, like, that weren't on that list that I can remember
pop.
That backfired of guys who'd never broke into the big. Like, I remember there was a guy for the White Sox. Was it Luis Robert? Prospects got a deal when he was in AAA. Luis Robert's fine.
Sure.
But, he didn't turn into the number one prospect type of guy that
it's
I think they imagined coming out.
It's got a lot of guys that this you feel good about it when this happens.
Without a doubt. And you get an affordable contract for a guy under their arbitration eligible years. So, yeah, I think your point on the salary cap is spot on, too, that there's that thought maybe behind the scenes of if we do get a salary cap, do your current contracts fit? Like, is there a future cap? Is it the deals that exist?
Mm-hmm.
Let's lock guys up right now and see if we can settle that and not have to worry about paying them down the road when there might be a limit, if that is to transpire in baseball. One other quick baseball note, because he hit his first home run the other night, so that was a great sign.
Yeah.
But I did see this stat line. Hitters with 20 strikeouts and a batting average under 200 this season. There's only one player in all of baseball who has struck out 20-plus times and is hitting under 200.
Is the guy that should have been the MVP last year?
It is Cal Raleigh that is it. That is
tough
the
start
only,
for them.
Only one.
They're in an offensive funk. They continue to drop games. They're 4-8, but you're 12 games in.
It's a long season.
It's not to me about, oh, he needs to hit 55 or more. It is, what is the number that makes fans go, oh?
Yeah.
Like, what? What's the number that you see or you follow the season and it becomes a little bit like, oh, that's a pretty big outlier right there.
Yeah, I said it yesterday, sub 30. If he's sub 30 home runs this year after 60, that's a... I'm not predicting he will be sub 30. It's just one like, what?
ALCS teams not off to a good start, Toronto and Seattle.
Yeah.
Schneider got tossed yesterday.
I did see the catcher try and drill Shohei in the elbow. I appreciate that effort. Knock his ass out.
Yeah, decoy this.
Yeah. He's pitching today. Life sucks.
I will say, watching it, it does feel like this year I'm seeing a little more small ball. Not as much swing for the fences. Like, you got guys off to slow starts, there's no doubt, but... I just feel like when I'm watching it, I'm seeing more hit the opposite field, get
a rally going
really well yesterday.
A couple of infield singles, bunt a guy over, steal a bag.
I don't know if that's a trend, if I have stats to back that. Yeah. It just feels like watching it, I'm seeing a little bit more of it.
Well, all I know is when I watch my team, I usually yell at my TV, more small ball plays. So it would be a welcome sight in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
If they can find it as well. Let's get the Statter Story. Blazers back in action. We'll dive back into them at some point in the final hour. Statter Story, though, next on the Fruit.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls.
So?
So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
That's right, folks. Stat or Story time, brought to you as always by Pioneer Heating and Cooling, locally owned and championship service since 1977. Send me an email.
They did.
I don't think they did.
Dum, dum, da, dum, dum, da,
hey, the Masters Par 3 contest is on right now.
Oh, they already started?
Yeah. Maybe heads up when I'm on vacation to, you know, you think I'm reading my email while I'm in Wyakola? I also contend I didn't get that email.
I didn't get the email either. And I didn't do anything last week, so I hope I didn't screw it up.
You were the reason?
What if I was the reason? Nobody told me. Sorry.
Bit of a...
Yeah, there's a comms situation that doesn't happen sometimes. That happens.
All righty.
Yeah, man.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
You go first.
Your number. This is right up Swag's alley.
Okay, what do you got?
And you'll get why in a second.
Okay.
Your number is 93.
93.
93. Is it the amount of team hits on the season those very own Pittsburgh Pirates have so far?
Okay.
Or is it the age of a woman from Ohio that broke the Guinness World Record by holding a dead hang position for nearly 3 minutes?
What?
Swag, this could be right up your alley soon.
No.
Let's see. So we played what, 10, 11, 12 games somewhere in there for the Pirates. So
story. Give me story. Story. That's too many runs. Story.
I said hits.
Hits,
sorry. Too many hits. Either way. That's fine. Same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, the Pirates have... Well, they've had some games where the offense have gotten...
You're just so outlogic. Just pick! You don't know.
This is why you can't be trusted on third down. This is why.
Yeah.
This is
your chocolate vanilla.
This is it.
Stat.
Stat? So you're going
story.
You're going stat. Okay. In order.
There you go.
You didn't need all the logic. You just guessed. You guessed right. Okay? The Pirates indeed have 93 hits on the season. By the way, your Giants...
Oh, it's bad, dude.
They're 10th in the league. They have 90 hits on the season.
They had like 8 hits and 1 run last night through 4 innings. This is awesome.
Only one
guys
team
getting gunned down at the plate. Okay.
Only one team has more hits than Swag's Dodgers. Do you know who it is?
Who's been the best hitting team in baseball?
Been mashing.
I don't know if I can answer that. I've been out of the loop for the last week.
Well, Mariner fans may know this. The Houston Astros have been mashing.
Are they?
A MLB leading 114 hits. No, this story comes from a lifelong athlete from the state of Ohio. where Anne Krill Estelle broke the Guinness World Record by holding a dead hang position for nearly 3 minutes. She is 90 years old and 231 days. She held it for 2 minutes and 52 seconds. So that was the original record. She broke it and took it from Annie Judas, who was 81 years old when she completed the feat in 2024.
Is it easier for the olds to do it?
Well, let me ask you this. I did a dead hang thing not very long ago.
That's just hanging on to the bar,
right? You're
just hanging on for as long as you can hang on.
How long do you think you could you hold for 3 minutes?
No.
In a dead hang position?
No.
No.
You don't think you could do it?
I don't think I could do it.
Okay.
I'm too fat.
Too fat.
And I got bad shoulders.
This is a pretty good achievement. And this woman is not like frail and old and like she looks like she's in really good shape. I mean, she calls herself an athlete.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it is like how is it easier because there's just less dense. I don't know. Old people being able to do that is interesting to me.
Well,
because somebody who's big and buff
and
strong,
have
like
some sort of muscle.
Let me ask you
without
you guys
it this, at that age.
How often on a weekly basis would you say you both lift weights?
Never.
Yeah, so you probably wouldn't do this very long. It has nothing to do with body. It's just how often are you lifting?
Yeah.
She looks like she lifts. I'm looking at this photo.
Oh, there you go.
And by the way, she's got the white
she's
powdered
got
donut.
You got to have chalk on your hands.
She's got the chalk on the hands.
You got to chalk those hands.
Pretty impressive. 90 years old to be hanging for 3 minutes.
Does a two-year-old count as lifting? It's a 30-pound bag of sand I'm throwing over my shoulder every day.
Are you doing curls? Are you going shoulder press? What are you doing here?
Do some buys and tries.
When was the last time you lifted weights legitimately?
Oh, probably 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have weights at home?
I do have weights at home. Not like I don't have a bench press, but I got some dumbbells.
What are we talking here?
I got a 30.
You got a 30?
The wife's got some fives and tens in there.
Fives and tens.
Okay, you got to use some fives and tens.
I do the window wipers with tens. It's not easy, dude.
Wax on, wax off.
The window wipers for about a minute, both sides.
I just did a search on my email, and I didn't see the email, so I'm going to go ahead and claim.
I think that was a you-only email that you didn't forward to us, which does happen quite often. When was the last time you lifted weights? When we went to Crunch?
Probably. I've never lifted weights.
That's like, not
never
consistent
well
for you. Lift weights, people. You don't have to be
lean
Arnold Schwarzenegger, but lift. It's really good for you in the future.
Lean, mean, fight machine. All right, I'll go next. Your number is three.
Three.
One, two, three.
One, two, three.
Is it the length of a worm that was sneezed out of the nose of a woman in Greece?
In what? Inches, feet?
Inches. My apologies.
Centimeters?
Inches. Sorry.
Three
my inch apologies.
Worm
a
out three of the nose?
Felt some issues, had some cyanitis problems, gave a big... And there it was, a three-inch worm.
How long before that thing wiggles, you go from that's just a nasty situation to horrifying?
Or is it the number of strikeouts on the season of one of the cheating players on Swigard's cheating baseball team, Freddie Freeman? 11 games into the season, only 3 strikeouts.
Given their offensive success, I'm going to say... Hold on. I'm trying to do 3 inches with my finger, my nose.
Just look down.
I'm going to go stat. I'm going to go stat. I know worms can be flexible, and
you
it's like
this?
Part.
Is this your 3 inches? That seemed like it was pretty
well,
light.
I mean,
you got to be more aggressive for yourself here,
that's
buddy.
That's three right there.
That's
you know that's think, three, isn't it?
I think you're shortchanging.
Isn't that three swag? Would you say that's 3 inches?
I think
or
you're shortchanging yourself over there?
Am I shortchanging myself? 3 inches.
You might be at 9.
Holy catfish!
They don't need to know that. The woman would feel it in her throat, wouldn't she? No, I'm just. With the nostril and the back of the... Wouldn't it also be in her throat? Well, how long is the nose cavity? Is the nose cavity 3? Because you'd feel it in her throat. I would think. I'm going to go stat.
Swag, go ahead.
I actually think Freddie struggled.
I love meat.
No. Freddie had a couple of rough games to start, so I think it's a little bit more. I'll go story.
Okay. We got stat from Sprague.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's what I'm saying. She would feel it in her throat if it was 3.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman only 3 strikeouts on the season through 11 games. How many at-bats has he had? He has had...
That's pretty impressive.
46 ABs, I believe, if I'm reading that correctly.
We don't miss him. We love Matt Olson.
I mean... I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Him and his huge teeth.
No, the inch of the worm was a 1-inch worm.
That's what I'm saying,
to
dude.
To Sprague's point.
Yeah.
You would have felt it in your throat if it was 3 inches.
Throat.
They
yes.
can feel it in their throat. A 58-year-old woman in Greece was out doing some field work. She works in the, you know,
in the field,
in the fields, whatever the fields are. She's working in them, and in a field of grazing sheep. And she noticed numerous flies swarming around. Don't worry, the story gets worse. Numerous
field worker, you know, she was
in the
working
field.
She's out in the fields, dude. What do? They work in the fields. Numerous flies swarming around her face. She's swatting about. She's out working in these fields.
Marvel.
And all of a sudden, she starts coughing, some severe coughing. No other symptoms. Doesn't make anything of it until about a week later, she sneezed down a 1-inch worm, and at that point, decided I should probably go to a doctor. Went to go see an ear, nose, and throat doctor who had to surgically remove 10 larvae and pupa.
That's awful.
Teenage insects between larval and the adult stages from her sinuses on the side of her nose. She's made a full recovery, but sneezed out a 1-inch worm.
Yeah.
All
that's
right.
Awful.
Your number's 29.
29.
Kevin. Is it the number of threes Rory McIlroy put on his scorecard last year in winning the Masters, all four rounds?
Give me the number one more time.
29.
29, okay.
The number of threes, which would be the most by a Masters champion all time. Or is it the percentage decrease in international visits coming through Portland International Airport in 2025 versus 2024?
So here's what I will say. I remember on Saturday, he set the tournament record for opening of consecutive threes because he birdied the first hole.
He's got range.
Which is a par four. Eagled the second hole, which is a par five. Third hole is a par four. He birdied it. Fourth hole is a par three. He parred it. Fifth hole, he birdied. I think it was like the first six holes, if I'm not wrong. So if you're telling me that on top of other normal birdies and pars on par threes, I'm going to go stat. I think it's a stat.
I'm going to trust you here. You're the Masters boy. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go stat as well. Masters boy.
Masters boy.
Yep.
Hey!
Yes, 29 threes on the scorecard, most by a Masters champion. He had six consecutive threes to start his third round, first player in tournament history to start a Masters in that fashion.
Not clutch, though, Joe Fisher.
66-66 in rounds two and three, sixth player in tournament history with consecutive rounds of 66 or better.
Does Fisher text us if he's like 15th? If he's like 23rd?
No, he has to shut up forever.
Yeah.
Like, he's not allowed to say anything.
I tend
to
agree with
that. There's no argument left.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
So, no, the state of Oregon brings in $14 billion. That is the tourism industry. It is, I believe, the number two industry in the state behind everything that goes into agriculture, basically anything that grows out of the ground.
What does that rank us nationally? I'm curious.
Not as high,
but
we had been outpacing other states recently. But no, in 2025, as things have turned, 21% fewer
21.
International visits through the airport. And it's the Portland is the only international airport here. In the state. So we had...
Was there talk of another one being in the state that I hadn't heard of?
But do
were
it.
People talking about Redmond having an international airport?
Redmond is considering doing that. They're probably having some direct flights up to Canada,
but that was your
to
field.
Mexico.
His point on the field worker, she was out in the field. That was yours right there.
I know people who have flown into the Redmond Airport.
But
before.
Is it called Eugene International?
No, it's not internationally.
It's a private jet. Anything's Eugene international.
Well, you can get some domestic flights there.
Yeah. So there were 65,500 visits, international arrivals, I should say, in 2024. Only 58,000. That's a 21% decrease. And most of it is from our friends to the north. 32% fewer Canadians came to Portland last year.
What's the deal, Canada?
There's a weird theme that's happened the last year or so with tourism in this country, and it's gone way down the drain.
Mm.
I wonder.
So, yeah. Mm. So, they get
a
lot of inquiries
very inviting
about
lately.
It.
I don't
the Oregon
know about,
coast, obviously, is a huge draw. Other things. But, yeah. So...
All right.
Hopefully we can entice them. They're hoping that
you think
with
we're
going
to entice people.
Well, no, they're hoping with the World Cup and so many West Coast venues, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, that a lot of people who will be driving back and forth will
I
take
keep forgetting that's happening
a
this
little
summer.
Time
I
to,
see the commercials.
I'm losing
through.
Excitement about it.
You seen the Messi and Mahomes commercial?
No.
No.
They're running on treadmills next to each other. each pressing the...
I've seen him on a treadmill, but I guess I didn't see the end of the commercial.
Yeah, so he somebody presses up on his speed, and he presses up on their speed.
Yeah.
And then he presses up.
Match each other.
Yeah. And then they show it. It's, look at that. It's probably a green screen. I'm sure they weren't in the same room when they actually filmed it. Keep pushing each other, I think is the theme. And I'm like, all right, that's what we're doing, huh?
Mm.
All right. Well, happy Statter Story Day. Brought
there
to you
go.
By... Innies.
Us. Yeah.
And Audis.
Innies and Audis.
Are you Innie on the stat or Audi on the stat?
Exactly.
The fact that we made it through, did it touch the back of her throat?
It had to have been in her throat. If a loogie it's can impressive. Be felt in your throat, in your nose.
It's impressive.
A 3-inch worm is definitely making her choke.
Look, the combination of worm talk and Innies and Audis, if that's, what did we rank last year? What were we? Mid-market?
17?
17.
If that doesn't put us in the top 15, I give up. I'm hanging them up. It's over.
It'd be wild to lose you because we didn't get top 15.
Top 15 or I quit. All right?
All right.
Jason Barrett, you hear me now? Top 15 or I'm out of here. Blazers are back in action tonight, taking on the Spurs. What do we know? Who's back in the lineup? We'll talk a little bit about that. Brandman's in here. He loves the chat today. Big Innie and Outie guy. Hey, did you guys know Pittsburgh's getting ready to welcome the nation to the unofficial beginning of football season, and the city's kickoff celebration will begin with an unforgettable invite-only night of music. The night before takes place Wednesday, April 22nd, right around the corner at Rivers Casino Event Center, featuring Jason Aldean, John Morgan, and Shane Proffitt. Visit odyssey.com/thenightbefore to enter. Now for your chance to win this national contest. Prize includes round-trip airfare, a two-night hotel stay, and two tickets to the show.
There you go.
We got the Blazers back in action. We don't have a lot of time here. We went a little long there.
Wemby's probably not going to play.
Talking about worms.
Wemby will come back. He'll play against
the Mavs. Yeah, Wemby's officially doubtful.
Yeah.
Shaden and Veet are officially doubtful.
Yeah.
Tonight will be interesting because I don't think, unless the Thunder aren't playing anybody, the Clippers shouldn't win that game. But you never know.
But the Thunder don't play people, and they still are so deep that
very
that
true.
Next group. Because all those guys.
I don't really know what to make of it. What do we make of the Clippers?
Not very good.
I don't know. That game last night against the Mavs was weird. They jumped out. They were like up 27-4 halfway through the first quarter. Then they let the Mavs come all the way back and tie it in the third quarter.
See that flag
and then,
dunk, by the way?
What?
You see that flag dunk over Lopez? Oh, my God. That guy's been amazing. What do I make the Clippers going into the Blazer game that they lost?
That we dominated that game, right? I was on vacation.
Since
what happened?
January, going into that game, they were top 7 in offensive rating, and they were like top 8 in defensive. I said on the show the day of the game, I don't think we're better than the Clippers. We can't beat them. They dominated
they
that
smoked
game.
Them. Yeah,
yeah. They controlled that game start to finish.
The Clippers are coming down a little bit, and you know whether we get the 8 seed or the 9 seed, I have no clue. We certainly could beat them in an 8-9 matchup if we beat the Warriors. I don't know. I don't make much of them. Kawhi's going to make all NBA, and that's kind of it for that team. They traded James Harden. They had some success. It's come down to earth a little bit. Ben Mathurin. Has kind of been a little bit of an up-and-down player for him.
That's kind of who he was in Indy, right? Very hot and cold. He had the ability to be a guy who could carry you, and then, like, where did he go? Why
his minutes will get cut. The minute he starts, like, 0-for-4 or 1-for-5, the coaches stop playing him. So I don't make much of the Clippers, man. What am I supposed to make of it? No team stands a chance to beat that Thunder team because, as I mentioned with the depth, the Thunder have so many guys that when, like, SGA or J-Dub don't play, it's still a team full of players that are playing for their deals or to be traded to a team so they can get their minutes.
Sure, sure.
Very interesting. Watch if you get to watch that Clipper game tonight, keep an eye because it's interesting. I was listening to Zach Lowe do a podcast with Rob Mahoney. So two national voices who have votes on award stuff, neither have Tamani on all defensive team. First or second. And one of the guys that's on that list is Cason Wallace, and he is a menace on perimeter defense. So – you know, I think they can beat the Thunder if certain guys rest, but we'll see if that happens.
All defensive team has to be a tough one to vote on because there's certain
incredibly
stats.
Difficult.
There's stats that you can point to of steals or, you know, deflections and, you know, there's metrics that you could
Tamani's
use.
Tamani's drawing a lot of charges.
Drawing charges.
He had a bit of a slow start defensively this year.
Yeah. And it just, you know, certain matchups and then who you have around you defensively is a big part of that as well.
Yeah.
That makes your life
no
easier
doubt.
Or more difficult. And so that's a difficult one to vote on.
I don't know if they beat the Spurs tonight. The Spurs, even without Wemby, are a tough test. But the way they're playing, and I know they choked away that Denver game, that's a bad first half against the Pelicans, a dominating win against the Clippers, and largely dominating the Nuggets for 95% of the game. leaves me hopeful they can go in and win this game, and the Thunder can absolutely beat that Clipper team. So we might wake up tomorrow with a tie.
Very well could.
For the 8th seed going into what will now be our biggest game in 5 years, swag, of Friday.
But the reverse, you're basically done, right? I mean, do we have the tiebreaker over the Clippers if we win on Friday?
If you win on Friday, yes, because
conference record.
They have a better Portland has a better conference record.
Yeah. So, but a loss tonight and a win for the Clippers would be pretty detrimental.
All
depending
but
on
over.
Who the Clippers. Well, who did the Clippers have in their last game?
Yeah, because we play the Kings.
We'll
so
beat
we're
the Kings this
game.
Weekend.
The Clippers have. Give me a second.
Is it a
here.
Tanker? We got a tanker or a good team? It's been funny to see the players call out tanking. I saw Draymond last night.
They have the
State.
Warriors.
Oh, okay.
Their last game.
But the Warriors are locked into the tent. They might save Steph just for the play-in.
Draymond had a really funny line. I can't stand him, but he had a funny line about tanking teams and of like, why are we finding players but we don't find teams when they do this? And I didn't see exactly what the Kings did, but he alleged that they were basically like fouling with the lead, or like it was obvious how they were trying to purposefully lose the game.
Yeah, because they kind of almost won that game last
and
night.
And he was like, this is stupid. We could have lost 15 consecutive games and we still would have been the 10 seed.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
This
That's
is
how bad everybody else is.
Bad bottom of the West.
Just historic tanking.
All time.
Way to go, Adam. An update on a local product, and the answer was always right there in front of us. We'll tell you what that is. Final thoughts on the show next on The Fam. Well, if you're looking for the random smorgasbord of what'll be on the TV today, got the par 3 contest underway. Always a delight. The kids are out there running around, hitting putts. It just, you know, it's Masters week, and it's a great start to the week. I also love the lore and the history, negatively, if you will. Nobody wants to win it. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Because nobody's ever won the par 3 and won the Masters tournament.
Yeah, they'll scratch.
That's a ridiculous thing.
So you'll get guys who have a leader like, I don't want to win it.
Why?
Because they don't, there's that...
Oh, because it hasn't happened yet. It can never
happen.
Are
you stitious? Are you superstitious?
That's dumb. That's dumb.
People don't want to win it.
Just go win it.
So it's always a fun thing to watch of who ends up actually winning this, just to keep an eye on, will that stupid thing go away?
Yep.
And then that will be, the lid will be taken off?
We'll get an update on Tommy Fleetwood's kid, see if he can hit a hole in one
Spieth's
yet.
Spieth's kid certainly did not.
No,
I'll tell you
Spieth
that
had a rough swing. Scotty's kid's just, you know...
too young?
A slice of pie. He's out there with his plastic club swinging it. They had to like pull him back. He's trying to hit the ball off the tee. It's like literally my life right now when I'm trying to hit a golf ball. When we took Teddy golfing, he wants to like pick your ball up and move it out of the way and then hit in the same spot.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, etiquette. You can't be moving my golf ball right now. We got to keep that thing on the ground.
So he was hitting with you at the golf, on the golf course.
Yes.
Did you actually played a round, right?
I played nine holes. Yeah. I played.
How did that go?
We would go out and just hit pitching wedges around, but I played nine holes. I mean, it was...
Because I'm assuming the wife was with you in the
car. Wife was with us,
playing as well.
Three of us were together.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, you know, we had our few hiccups here and there when it was he wanted to hit and we're waiting and he's, you know, like we can't hit right now and you can't, somebody else's
Daddy
turn.
Time,
like,
get out of here.
Yeah, there's a few of those. Yeah. He's not quite fully up on the etiquette of how it all works, but for the most part, he had a great time.
Of something that, like, I can't do, there's a lot of things in sports I'm not capable of doing. I truly believe their ability to hit and skip the ball on water and still approach the ball within like 8 feet of the pin is one of the more impressive sports feats.
Like how?
You see every year.
How do you do that?
Was it Rahm had the hole in one?
Rahm had
the tradition in the practice rounds on the 16th hole.
Yeah.
You'd hit it over the water.
You go up to the front of the tee box and skip it across the water.
Now, I've accidentally done it a couple times in a round where I've top middled it with the driver and it does skip and I go, oh, my God, I'm on the ground.
It
I'm
could
good.
Actually work, yeah.
But largely, I couldn't do it if I tried to do it.
That's not happening on purpose.
Not a chance.
No. So you got the par 3, you got baseball going on. The Blazers later on tonight, so we got a lot kind of on the docket, right?
Blazers getting the ESPN treatment. They're the second half of the ESPN
I'm actually
100.
A huge fan of that because then I can watch other things at the same time and I don't have to have the app up. That's always the
I know, that's
pain
the
in the butt
for me.
Yeah, baseball all day. It's getaway day, so
first games.
The first game, I believe, has already started. I think the Pirates
I'd
are
imagine
in
so, yeah. And then I did see this, the update, and I remember said this when it happened of, I think this happened when you were out, that Shellstad announced that he was transferring, our local Westland product.
That's right. The portal opened yesterday.
The portal is officially
open. 1,500 players in it.
I mean, Michigan just completely portaled a national championship team. They were the only one that had all five starting five that were none of them were homegrown. Mm-hmm. Everybody else had it in the five. I think it was in the Sweet 16 had at least one guy. In some places like Michigan State, basically their entire starting five was homegrown guys. So it's not everybody that does it, but the portal certainly can still have a big impact. Jackson Shellstad has been crystal balled
Arizona.
To Arizona.
Yeah.
And we said it at the time, like, he's going to Arizona. It's West Coast. Stay close to home. Nice weather. Well, who is one of the best programs in the country right now? Go play meaningful basketball next year.
Dude, he
get, try and jump to the NBA.
Yeah, he gave a lot of years to Oregon. He stayed home. Yeah. And, you know, he had a good run there. It just, unfortunately, was a really bad final
I don't blame
season.
Him at all.
I don't think any Oregon fan does.
No. Pritchard Stan, I mean, they were good in Pritchard's senior year. That was a team that would have had a chance to go on a long run in the tournament.
Freshman
but it was
year
the COVID
and
year.
Senior year. He had some elite teams. He had the Final Four team.
They got better and they were relevant in every year and the tournament team every year and all of that. And Shellstad, it went the opposite direction where you go tournament team, crater. And it's like, nah, dude, I want to go. I got one more year of eligibility left. I'm going to go play. Or maybe he'd get a medical red shirt for this year. I don't know how many games he played.
No, I Not think he played
too many.
It's got to be like less than a quarter of the season.
Okay.
He played. I think close to half the season.
Oh, did he end up playing that many games?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to assume next year we see him in at least the Sweet 16 and hitting a big shot, and we go, yeah.
Yep. There he is.
That's why he did it.
Yeah, there's Scotty's kid. Look at how cute that kid is, man. He's got his little plastic club. He's putting his tee in the ground.
What age are you going to get Teddy real clubs and sign him up for lessons?
He already has real clubs that he hits.
Oh, no. You're becoming that dad. Oh, he's living the dreams.
He's
he never...
got a swing coach he sees every Tuesday.
You did baseball and you did football. You did the traditional American children's sports.
Look, I'm
and
all
we
about...
know what your life is now. You're going to drive this kid right into tournaments.
Look, there's a selfish angle there where I would like to have somebody to play golf with, and that's my meal ticket to be able to play golf on a regular basis. If he's not into golf, my golfing minutes will
there
be restricted.
Are you paying for the rounds
or making him pay
for
it?
How old is he? Does he have a job yet?
Grown-ass man.
When he's a grown-ass man, pay for your own round. Damn it. No, I'll pay for his golf rounds.
But not dinner, no. What a weird position to take.
If he invites me to dinner.
What if he invites you to golf? Dad, I got a tee time at 2 o'clock.
Pay for
golf. Golf's an investment.
That's a great way to say it. Yeah. Part 3 is fun to watch. Blazers tonight taking on the Spurs. Shaedon Sharpe, that was the big news earlier today. We talked about likely not going to play tonight, but his injury designation does give him a chance to return.
No Friday.
In their final two games of the season. So keep an eye on that one. Blazers and Spurs, 6:30 on ESPN. The Thunder and Clippers play at 7 tonight, so that one's just league pass. You got a league pass if you watch it. But we'll keep an eye on that one. The OKC Thunder are a 7.5-point favorite. Your Blazers tonight, 3.5-point dog, San Wemby. I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole.
I'll jump on. I'll stupidly take the Blazers plus 3.5.
If they have a sizable lead in the third quarter.
Yeah. Bet the Spurs.
Bet the Spurs.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I've learned about this team this year. That will do it for us, folks. We did not have Matt Miller on today. Hopefully tomorrow, 8:45.
We are rescheduled tomorrow, 8:45.
Fingers crossed it will be 2 weeks out from the start of the NFL draft, but a fun show talking about cats, garbage, innies and outies, worms and throats, draft capital. That's about it. It's a delightful little Wednesday. Go catch the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter, at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Thanks for being a part of our day. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm. Harrison Meringue is next. Listen to 1051 FM The Fan.